web design is there now.
And your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Grace, His mercy, His peace be with you today. Through Jesus Christ, God our Father, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, last week was Pentecost, and we looked at the powerful preaching of Peter to the people at Pentecost by the Holy Spirit. So today, I'd like to look with you specifically at the Holy Spirit. Who is He? What is His identity? And do you have a living, breathing, active, interactive relationship with Him? A lot of times we can tend to think a little bit about the Holy Spirit theologically, but not think about Him as a friend and a person we're in a relationship with as we go through our lives. So let's take a look at that today and see what God would teach us about that by His Word, the Scriptures, so that we would have a living, breathing, active, interactive relationship with the Holy Spirit in our lives. Yes, even as Lutherans. So let's take a look and see what we can learn about that today. Well, first of all, let's remember and refresh ourselves on this, that the Holy Spirit is not an it, but a who. In other words, the Holy Spirit's a person. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
This is very important for us. You know, some religious bodies, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, who aren't even Christians, they deny that the Holy Spirit's a person. They just call Him an impersonal force, like electricity, like you go turn on and off a light switch. That's the Holy Spirit to them. They're completely wrong, as I'll show in just a few moments. The Holy Spirit is a person, says Scripture, says God. But you know, even we Christians, we Lutherans, and in the whole Christendom of various denominations, even though we know that the Holy Spirit is a person, we can still kind of depersonalize Him, can't we, in certain ways? You know, as Lutherans, we can say, oh, I know about the Holy Spirit. Theologically, He's the third person of the Trinity, check mark, and that's pretty much all we think about the Holy Spirit. We don't have this living, breathing, active relationship. Sometimes we can unwittingly kind of depersonalize Him into a theological concept. Now, you have other churches like the Pentecostals and the Charismatics and some evangelical churches who talk so much about the Holy Spirit that they don't even really think it seems about God the Father or preach Jesus Christ so much. They're always talking Holy Spirit this and that. But even they can tend to depersonalize Him, though they focus on Him so much. You ever hear this song? Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, Lord, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by Your presence, Lord. I actually kind of like that. That's okay to sing. It's not doctrinally wrong, so I'm not saying it's wrong, but what are they doing? It almost seems like they're turning the Holy Spirit, sometimes to a degree, into a mist that fills the atmosphere, that just sort of floods in and wafts about, rather than a person. And they kind of call Him into their worship services by turning down the lights, setting a certain mood, having a rock music, kind of certain chords on the guitar, and having a repetitive mantra type of song, you know, where they sing the same phrase over and over like 100 times. And they eventually get into this altered state of consciousness, this ecstatic emotional high, and the Holy Spirit is here because He's a mist filling the atmosphere. That also can be, not saying it's necessarily so always, but it can be a certain depersonalizing of the Holy Spirit from a person into a mist. Then you have the extremes on the charismatic side, the holy rollers, where they're dancing around with such loud, chaotic music, they work themselves up into this state where supposedly the Holy Spirit comes and they start jiggling around, falling on the ground. That's where you get the word holy rollers, right? They're rolling around on the ground in snake-like, writhing fashion, claiming that's the Holy Spirit, to which I am on high alert. warnings, Dr. Smith, danger, danger, that doesn't look like the Holy Spirit to me, because the Holy Spirit, we need to know, is not only a person, but he is the God of sober truth, a clear mind, calm, peace, and power, not going nuts and crazy and losing control. When the Holy Spirit comes with upon you in power, that for ultimate control, the ultimate sober mind, with peace, calm, and power to preach Jesus Christ. So those are some of the ways that people can depersonalize the Holy Spirit, and we can kind of fall into that too and say, hey, okay, I know who he is, but we don't think about him a whole lot or talk with him or he talk with us. Is that what God wants? Let's understand he's a person, first of all. Say the word person.
Person.
You can have a relationship with him. In the Bible, 1 Corinthians 12, the Holy Spirit has a will. All the gifts that God gives to us are inspired by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So he has a will. He has intelligence. He has a mind. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Again in Corinthians. He makes decisions. He makes choices. He even speaks, as you know. For while the church was worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul to the work for the work to which I have called them." Set apart for who? Me. That doesn't sound like electricity, friends. That's a person. I have called them, says the Holy Spirit. That's a person. He has feelings. Did you know that? He can rejoice. He can be hurt, even. For Paul says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Grieve the Holy Spirit, in whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You know, if you sin and go after waywardness, he can be grieved. He can also rejoice. And he is a he, according to Jesus. John 14, but the counselor of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I've said to you. So he is a person. He is the Holy Spirit. One you can have in a relationship, and you can know him as a friend. Very important. Who, though, is he specifically, though? He's a person, but who? He is God himself with us, the third person of the Trinity. You know, God is, remember, three distinct persons, one God. That's a great mystery. We believe it. Scripture confesses it. We can't put it all together in our minds, but God is one God, three distinct persons. Remember at the beginning of creation, when the earth was all still dark and without form, and there was God the Father, and then the Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the waters. God spoke, that's Jesus, namely the Word. All things were created through him. And let there be light, and there was light. So you got who on the first two verses of the Bible, three verses, Father creating through his word the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together at Jesus' baptism too, right? Remember, Jesus goes into the waters. The Spirit comes down as a dove. The Father is speaking and says, this is my Son with whom I'm well pleased. And there's the Son, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. When Jesus was crucified, resurrected, going to heaven, he says, go and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Doesn't say the names of, but the name of, singular. One God, same name, but he's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three distinct persons, one God. How to understand that? I can't explain it to you. Some people say the clover leaf is, you know, one plant, three lobes, all the same essence together, but three different lobes. It's one way to look at it, to some degree, but it's a mystery. But let's talk about the Holy Spirit, a third person of the Trinity. He is God himself. The Spirit is not an add-on, not a Johnny-come-lately, not a tag-along. He is God with the Father and the Son. Check it out. He's omniscient. What's that mean? He knows everything. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God, says Paul. He knows everything. He's omnipresent. Remember, we read there a moment ago in Psalm 139 that David says, whither shall I go from thy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, or flee from your presence? If I go to heaven, you're there. If I go to Sheol, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning, dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. Even there thy hand shall lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. So the Holy Spirit is everywhere, present. He's also omnipotent. Remember when the angel told Mary, you're going to have a child, and Mary's like, how can that be? I don't have a husband. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, said the angel. And then you're going to have the Son of God. But notice, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Because the Holy Spirit is coming upon you, nothing is impossible to the Holy Spirit. He is omnipotent. He can do anything. He is God himself. And then, of course, in Acts chapter 5, we talked about this morning, when Ananias lied to the Holy Spirit, Peter says, you've not lied to men, but to God. So just as much as the Father is God, just as much as Jesus, the Son, is God, just as much so also is the Holy Spirit God, the third person of the Trinity. So don't think of him as an add-on, a Johnny-come-lately, because he's third. We just call it third. But he is God, the Spirit of God himself with us, the third person of the Trinity. What a friend we have in him. So can you have a relationship with him, though? This is all theological concepts in a sense so far, but can you actually have a living, breathing, active relationship with him, where he talks to you, you talk to him? Well, what kind of relationship can you have with somebody who never talks with you? That's not a good situation. But you know, the Reformed churches, it's said, you know, like Presbyterians and some of those, they focus and preach a lot on the Father, his sovereignty to do whatever he wants. Lutherans, we focus mostly on the Son. Our sermons are about Jesus, what he did for our salvation, justification by faith. The Pentecostals preach on mostly Jesus Christ, or mostly the Holy Spirit, without even talking much about the Father and the Son sometimes. Which one's right? Which should we do? Well, we should focus on all of them together. Why?
Because they're one.
It's God. You can focus on the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the way we do it is we focus on God the Father, pray to him through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. But that's all at the same time. We're thinking on God and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So it's not blasphemous to talk to Jesus, by the way, because he's the second person of the Trinity. It's not blasphemous to talk to the Holy Spirit either, because he's also God. When you talk with him, you're talking with the Father and the Son. A good way to look at this is our blessing we see at the end of the service a lot of times from 2 Corinthians 13. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. So, through Jesus Christ, what do we get? Grace, salvation, justification, his cross and resurrection. What do we get from the Father? The love of God the Father be with you. What do we get from the Holy Spirit? And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Fellowship is friendship. So what do we get from the Holy Spirit is friendship, not only with each other, but fellowship with him, friendship with the Spirit. And it's okay to set your mind on the Spirit. It's not just like that's the Pentecostals or something, because Romans 8, Paul says to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind upon the Spirit is life and peace. You're setting your mind upon God. So normally it's God the Father through Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, but all together. And it's okay to think on the Spirit and have a relationship with him. He is God after all, as much as the Father and the Son are. Do you have him as your friend, though? Do you have the Holy Spirit? How do you know? Well, Jesus says, when he's going up to God, he said, I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another counselor to be with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world can't receive because it doesn't know him or see him. You know him, for he dwells with you, he told his apostles, and he will be in you. Another counselor. Who's that? Another one like me, like Jesus. He's going to be with you forever. This counselor, the Holy Spirit, given to whom? Believers, Christians, those who belong to Christ. Ephesians 1, Paul says, in him you also who have heard the word of the truth and the gospel of your salvation have believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. In baptism, who baptized you? Well, yeah, the Father, the Son, too, are there. But you're born of who? Of water and the Spirit. And if you're born of the flesh, that's flesh. If you're born of the Spirit, you're spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the one who brought you to birth. You have what a relationship then in baptism. And everyone who belongs to Christ, Romans 8, has the Spirit of Christ gifted to you by the Father. So think about that. The whole same Holy Spirit who's hovering over the face of the sea at the dawn of creation, who was in the apostles, who was in Jesus, is inside of you to be with you as your friend, companion forever through this world, on your way in your journey to heaven, and then even into eternity after that as your friend. Isn't that great? So what kind of a friend, what kind of a relationship do we have with him? Let me list a few things. First, we should know him, the Holy Spirit, as our Savior. Can you say Savior?
Savior.
Now we always say, oh, Jesus is our Savior, right? Well, yes. God, Father is our Savior. Yes, he is. The Spirit is your Savior too. How so? Well, the Father, God the Father, saves you by loving you and sending Jesus. Amen? The Son, Jesus, saves you by coming to you, dying on the cross with your sins on him, and rising again on the third day to purchase your salvation. And the Holy Spirit saves you by applying Jesus Christ to you and connecting you to him in his salvation for eternal life. So the Holy Spirit is your Savior, you could say, then, for sure. How does he save us? How does the Holy Spirit interact with us for salvation? Especially through the preaching of the word, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we looked at last week. Peter, powerfully preached to the people of Pentecost by the Spirit. So the way the Holy Spirit comes to us most principally is the preaching of Jesus Christ and his word. Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to convince the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. So what's the first thing he does with us? He convinces us, like with Peter preaching last week, to convict you of your sin, to show you're in the wrong. Alecho is the word. He'll convict you, show you your guilt, to prove your guilty estate, to show your evil plight, and to terrify you with the truth that judgment is coming and you're not right and you're going to go to hell. That's puts the fear of God into you. It's the first thing he does. Once you feel the fear and you're pricked in your heart, like the people in Pentecost last week, then what does he do? He brings and preaches to you the sweetness of the gospel of Jesus Christ, saying, yes, you're a sinner, but Jesus came to pay all of that for you and set you free. Come to Jesus, one and all, cries the Spirit, to be saved by faith in him. And the Holy Spirit, by the preaching of that gospel, creates faith in our hearts that we might believe, be connected to Christ, therefore, Christ connected to us, saved, baptized, and delivered. So, number one, he convicts you. Second of all, he converts you. As we say in Luther's catechism, I believe I can't by my own understanding or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, made me holy, and kept me in the true faith. Just as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and makes holy the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith, this is most certainly true. So, the Holy Spirit, the principal way he interacts with us as Savior is to preach through the Word Jesus Christ, either by me, or in your Bible studies, or in your own readings, or in your heart through the remembrance of his truths. He comes to convict us of our sin and convert us to Christ. This is most certainly true. Then, secondly, we need to know him not only as Savior, but also as sanctifier. Sanctifier. Namely, a master craftsman. He convicts you, he converts you, then he conforms you into the image of Jesus Christ. I heard a Pentecostal preacher one time, not too long ago, and I was looking at it this week, he said, it's sort of like this, that the Father, God the Father, commissioned a great art, a work of art to be done. Jesus Christ is the one who is the model of what he wants that work to look like, and he paid for it through Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is the painter himself who comes to paint Jesus on you, which is the blank canvas. So the Holy Spirit comes to fulfill that commissioned work, which Jesus paid for and is the model of, to paint Jesus on you, to make you like Christ, to conform you into his image. Isn't that beautiful? Because we're saved by grace through faith, etc., but we're now God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in. So the Holy Spirit is there to, as a master craftsman, make you look like Christ. A little touch here, a little there, or better, a statue. You're a big block of wood, or stone, I should say, and he chisels off pieces, hammering them, painfully taking pieces off you that don't belong, that's hard, and making you into the image of Christ. How again? By the preaching of Jesus and the Word especially. We read here, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed into his likeness, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." So isn't that cool? Do you have him as your sanctifier? Master craftsman? Is he working on you in your life? Is he preaching to you right now through me to conform you into Christ's image and to love and worship him? He is. But he also uses the school of hard knocks. And you come here, you get recharged, you get preached the word, then you go out into the din and battle of this world. It's a filthy, disgusting place in a lot of ways. Demons, foul spirits, troubles, conflicts, confusions, challenges, all kinds of things that we don't like. It's painful to be worked on by the Holy Spirit, but just know this, he's good, and he's working faithfully to change you by all these things into Christ's image. How does he come to us? Well, he's already inside of you. But it's not by just us having a mantra or turning down the lights or playing certain guitar chords and trying to work you up into a tither of some kind of way where you're now in an altered state of consciousness and you have a mist and all of a sudden you fall on the floor or start dancing in the aisles and start shaking around or writhing like a snake. You know, Pastor Wolf Mueller, I don't know if you've watched him, of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, he said he used to be an evangelical, and he was used to that kind of a service where it's all emotional. And he's like, oh, it's so Holy Spirit. It's so, I feel so good. It's okay to worship that way to some degree. It's all right. But he said, when I came first to the Lutheran Church, now he's a pastor, but he said, I went to that service. It was boring. It was just liturgy. And then, etc. And he said to his wife, I'm out of here. There's no Holy Spirit in this place. Because it wasn't emotional. Didn't work him up. But he says, after he came and learned more, he said, how dumb I was. The whole Lutheran service is liturgy, which is scripture after scripture, after preaching of Jesus, after scripture, and more Jesus. The Lord's Supper, the reading of the scriptures, the preaching of the word. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He says, the Holy Spirit was here all along, and I just didn't see it. So rejoice in that. But when the Holy Spirit comes, remember, what he creates in you is a clear mind. You're not going nuts. You're not going crazy. You're not losing control. You're gaining the most perfect control ever. A calm mind, a serenity, and a power that can overcome the entire world and preach Jesus fearlessly. That's when the Holy Spirit comes to you. So he convicts, he converts, and he conforms you, and he is a daily defender of you, a keeper of your soul, a guardian sent by God to keep you every step of the way, to guide you and lead you in your life, to counsel and comfort your heart when you're troubled, to encourage you and point you in Jesus as a good friend, namely the best. Do you know him like that? I'll give you another counsel to be with you forever, says Jesus. And what's he created in us? Look. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Do you know him as a good friend? Watch this. If that's what he's creating inside of you, that's his fruit, which he works, then he is all of those things to the extreme thousandth degree towards you. Is he loving to you, the first fruit of the Spirit? The Father loves you. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. But the Holy Spirit is with you. It's your friend. Loves you. Everything knows every hair on your head, every secret of your heart, every temptation, every weakness, every strength, every experience, past, present, and future. Knows everybody that's about you, knows when the demons are attacking you, knows everything, prays for you with sighs too deep for words, guarding you, keeping you, knowing everything with all power, all presence to keep you the whole way. He's loving to you. He's a joyful spirit. He's not like, man, I gotta put up with these people all the way to heaven. Oh, can't stand this. I'll barely do it though. No, he's joyful. He rejoices over you as God rejoices over you. He is peaceful. He is a quiet calm and serenity in your life. He's patient with us when we make mistakes or even sin. He's quick to come in and forgive, to convict and convert you again with all kindness, because he's a good God. He only wants the best for you, full of goodness, righteousness, truth, spirit of truth, faithfulness. He'll never leave you. He'll never depart from you. Don't sin and try to drive him away. But he works on you. He's always faithful to restore you and be with you always. He's gentle. He's kind like Jesus. You can come to him that he might refresh your souls, and he's full of self-control. He is not a hothead. He is calm, clear, consistent, loving to you, and he works these same things in you that are first already in him. And one more thing, you can talk with him and he can talk with you. Talk with God the Father. You're the Holy Spirit. You're talking to him too and to Jesus, because they're all one together. And he'll speak to you especially, again, like I said, by the word. But it'll also bring to your mind things that might be direct communications for your own personal journey, such as, when I'm feeling like, oh God, am I really saved? Oh, I just don't feel very saved today. The Holy Spirit will then bring to my mind scriptures. That's usually what he does. By grace, Greg, you've been saved through faith. This isn't your own doing. It's the free gift of God. Not because it works, lest any man should boast. Oh, man, but, I just don't feel very good today. Oh, don't forget, Jesus is faithful. His name is faithful and true. Oh, but will I make it all the way to the end, Lord? He says, he who began a good work in you, I began a good work in you. I'm going to bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. But I'm afraid, Lord. Don't be afraid. Remember who is with you, and I'll make you more than a conqueror through him who loves you. He'll also speak to us a personal word. Like he said to Philip, go up and join this chariot. That's not scripture. I mean, it's in scripture. But that was a word to Philip. And he'll have a word to us, too, to encourage us. I was thinking of marrying Beth. Should I marry her? Should I not marry her? And I heard, I don't know if it was the Holy Spirit, but I heard she's going to teach you to love. And I've ever since then, like Mary, I've been like pondering these things in my heart. I wonder if that was the Holy Spirit. Well, boy, I'll tell you, for 28 years, that sure come true. Through all of our love times, our hardships, our medical emergencies, our troubles in life, our ins and outs, she's teaching me, the Holy Spirit is through her, to love. And I'm still growing in that, and every day. So was that the Holy Spirit? He speaks words to guide, encourage, and point us in the way of Christ. And he's going to be with you, friends, forever. He is the seal, the down payment, and the guarantee of your entire inheritance in heaven, in the kingdom, until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. And he says to you today, because I am with you, the Holy Spirit, none can overtake you, none can overwhelm you, none will ever conquer you, for he who is in you, I who am in you, am greater than anything and anyone that's in the world. And at the last day, I want you to know I'm going to raise you up when Christ returns. For if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his spirit, which dwells within you. So in conclusion today, let's rejoice also in the Holy Spirit. Worship God the Father through Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. If we sing, what a friend we have in Jesus, we could certainly sing also, what a friend we have in the Holy Spirit. So the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ now, the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.